If you will, please stand for the reading of God's word. You will find it on the screen, perhaps, in your devices. Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1, 2, and 3. And it reads, the New King James Version, on this wise: The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prisons for those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion. This is the word of the Lord for the people of the Lord. God bless you. You may be seated. Amen. Isaiah, the Old Testament prophet, he is called by God to warn the people of Judah concerning their immoral behavior, worshiping false gods, idolatry, blatant sins, even the nations around those who were chosen were sinning. The whole earth is full of sin. Judgment must come because a holy God would not let sin go unpunished. Throughout the Old Testament, one of the current themes is those who rebel against God. And there was retribution when they rebel. But we have a God who is able. When you repent, he shall restore. But God let the prophet know that there is a message of hope and one to come if the people become obedient to his word and cease from their sinful ways. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. And it is there where I want to focus our attention this morning. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Now, I know that your heart is not always broken. God is blessing you mightily. But there is someone perhaps here today, this morning. I don't know who the message is for. There is someone who is watching on the stream. I don't know if the message is for you, but God is faithful. So we want to focus on the intention of to heal the broken heart. As Christians, we know sin's origin. We're familiar with that defiant act that took place in the garden, that act that opened the door and allowed sin to enter, and great was the fall of man. Where before there was a divine relationship, one that flourished, where there were no flaws, where there was no desires on the part of man, except perhaps to continue in that divine relationship with his creator. There was one of serene peace in the garden, bliss, stillness, joy unspeakable. I'm talking about the garden, a quiet, harmonious perfection that you and I cannot even begin to imagine. Nothing that man could have desired that God had not already supplied. All that he needed, God's hand had provided. And it was all in accordance to his riches and glory. Saints, I try to visualize, and I want you to try and visualize what the garden may have looked like. And as I was contemplating on and visualizing what the garden may have looked like, a song came to my heart. A song that Adam could have written, Sister Stevens. it began to emerge, and it went like this. I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses. And the voice that I hear falling on my ear, I said, God himself discloses. Adam, you could have said, and he walked with me. And he talked with me. And he told me that I was his own. And the joy we shared as we tarried there, not even Eve could have known. Gracious God. Take God at his word, saints, because he will change your life. Taking him at his word will make the difference. But there was transgressions in the garden, and the transgressions shattered the transparency. And it broke the bond of fellowship. It betrayed that serene peace that was in the garden. It betrayed and hindered the holiness of a perfect, harmonious God. Are you with me this morning, saints? It changed the order of things. Man had a relationship with the Creator that allowed him to dwell in the presence and the beauty of God's holiness and witness the splendor of his magnificent creation. In today's vernacular, we would say he had a front row seat to the greatest show of love on earth. What more, saints, could he have desired? Reverend Bowman said it this morning, he's a God, a giver of all good and perfect gifts. He will provide. Have I got a witness this morning? He will provide because he knows what you need, even before you ask. But it is the relationship, that fellowship that made whole and complete, that creation that he wants to reconcile when he first put man in the garden. When the heavens and earth were created, there were no structural imperfections in the garden, in his foundation. Listen to what the poet might have said about that. He said, his mountains stood tall, his valleys laid low, his rivers, his seas, and his oceans, they did flow. His sun, his moon, his stars, they shone bright. His days knew their place, followed closely by the night. This is God in the garden. There was nothing created, made, without his divine hands. And he said, it is good. As a matter of fact, he said, it is very good. Then he took his rest. There was nothing left undone, saints. There was nothing broke. There was nothing that needed to be fixed. You know what we say, if it ain't broke? Hallelujah. In our text, the prophet Isaiah has been summoned to tell us about someone, that someone who has been called, someone who has been prepared from the foundations of the world, someone who has been anointed to do what no one else before him, no one else after him was able to do. Isaiah knew him not, nor did any of the other prophets. Why? Because he had been concealed. Yet they knew something about him. They knew something that it was special about God. Isaiah would call him, Reverend Swinton, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, Emmanuel, God with us. In the realm of Christianity and servitude, there is nothing greater than being a servant, humble, for the cause of Christ. As servants of the Most High God, we are called to love our neighbors and do unto others as we would have them do unto you. Even called to pray for those who despitefully use you and persecute you. Here in the text, we see a humble servant who we've come to learn Christ concealed, one who is willing to accept a calling that would embrace a heart of compassion and a heart of consolation. Look at what the text says. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord God has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim the captives and the opening of the prisons to those who are bound. Preaching good tidings, my brothers and sisters, was a way of God letting you know that you have not been forgotten. They have not been forsaken. Even in the present conditions when you seem helpless and without hope, God is able to do it exceedingly abundantly above all you could ask or think. We define the poor as someone who is without, not having, as compared to someone who have an abundance of good, health, wealth, and material things. But even, my brothers and sisters, having material things, we still can be poor. We can be poor and not having love. You can be poor and not having the Spirit. You can be poor and not having joy and peace of mind and the Holy Spirit. There's nothing like enjoying the fruits of one's labor. God knows how to reward faithfulness. He is a giver of all good and perfect gifts. But he was sent, the Bible said, he was sent to heal the brokenhearted and to proclaim liberty to the captives and open up the imprisoned mind. I want us to focus for a few moments on that C part of that first verse, that he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. I would that you join me in this thought. Jesus provides a bridge, a breakthrough for those that are broken. Jesus provides a bridge for a breakthrough for those that are broken. He is the bridge for your brokenness, sent to heal the broken heart. It is said that the heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? You can see that in Jeremiah 17, verse 9. And the time period in which this was said, the context of which it was said, was absolutely true. Those people in Judah, at the time that Isaiah was prophesying, they had hardened their hearts against the Lord. They had hardened their minds against his teachings. And there are some examples in the Bible, my brothers and sisters, that fate awaits those who harden their hearts against the Almighty God. You can ask Pharaoh that. God has not run out of Red Seas. But this compassion, Jesus, he is referring to those who, no fault of their own, have fallen victims of neglect, victims of abuse, victims of abandonment. God has sent his son Jesus. He's a bridge, a breakthrough for those that are broken. He has a heart of compassion for the poor, orphans and widows, those relegated to the back streets, alleys of life. And he is more than willing to take up them as his own. We've seen his hand in the story of the Good Samaritans, the righteous indignation of those who would dare see a neighbor in need and walk on by. A priest, you know the story, a Levite, came upon such a man who had been the victim of thieves, who had stripped him of clothing. After wounding him and leaving him on the roadside, barely clinging to life. The Bible said when they saw him, they refused to render any comfort, any aid. They went out of their way, Reverend Bowman, crossing over on the other side. I don't know about you this morning, but life can make you a victim. Life's uncertainties have a way of coming up on you suddenly and without warning. With all these sophisticated surveillance cameras we have in stores and different places in our homes, somehow thieves manage to break in and steal, and moth and rust will be their co-conspirators. Have I got a witness this morning? That precious heirloom that you savored, that antique watch that you received from your uncle or aunt, that wedding ring that you were going to wear when you got married, gone in the blink of an eye. Jesus said, I am sent to heal and bind up the broken heart. Wherever there is a need, there he is. Unlike the priest and the Levite, Christ won't cross over to the other side. I'm a witness. He won't leave you in a ditch of despair. No, he will not. He provides a bridge that's a breakthrough. He cares for his own. I'm glad Sister Stevens, that he didn't cross over on the other side. When he saw me wallowing in the muck and mire on my way to a street called eternal damnation, I'm glad that he didn't cross over on the other side. When he saw me on my way to eternal separation, I'm glad that he didn't cross over on the other side. When I was weak and weary and worn and tired, I'm glad that he didn't cross over on the other side. Praise God. I was falling deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, barely sinking to stay no one, but God saw me. He lifted me up. He lifted you up this morning. There are some circumstances in life that will come up upon you, pitfalls and stumbling blocks that could have taken you under. I'm so glad that he took the time and stopped and met me where my needs were, binding up that broken heart. The songwriter said it like this. Somebody prayed for me, but they had me on their mind. Somebody prayed for me, and they took the time to pray for me. I'm so glad they did. I'm so glad they did. I'm so glad they prayed for me. But I want to change that a little bit. When Jesus went up on the cross, I'm so glad he stayed for me. He had me on his mind. I'm so glad he stayed for me. And he took the time. I'm so glad he stayed. I'm so glad he stayed. I'm so glad he stayed for me. Hallelujah this morning. I feel like preaching this morning to somebody. You remember the young lady who's lost her son, was on her way to bury him. Jesus stopped by. He took the time. He made the difference. He will provide a breakthrough for those who are broken. He will restore, like he did the mother. He restored the son's life. He restored the mother's as well. Being compassionate, he will hear your faintest cry because he specializes. Brother Aris Mendez, he specializes in things that are broken and disconnected. He specializes. Physical death had separated the mother from her son. Perhaps he was the only means of visible support. But Jesus came by. A breakthrough. Yes, we know her heart was broken. But I said to you before, Jesus provided the bridge for a breakthrough for those who are broken. Jesus will come by. The adversary we know will come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I'm going to say that again. The adversary will come to steal, to kill, and destroy. But look what Jesus does. Jesus comes to heal and seal and restore. Hallelujah this morning. He won't let the robber take you. He will restore those things that you've lost. Yes, he will. What will he restore? He will restore your broken dignity this morning. He will restore your broken self-esteem this morning. He will restore your broken trust this morning. He will restore whatever it is that you've lost. The broken parts of humanity that has fractured your self-determination and has created an atmosphere of doubt and dismay. Jesus is a breakthrough for those who are brokenhearted this morning. You recall the blind man. I'm sure he was brokenhearted, but Jesus fixed it. You remember the man who was lame. Jesus healed him. You remember the man who was standing by the sitting by the pool for some 30 plus years, the Bible said, waiting for the stirring of the water. But I come by to tell you that it does not matter how long you've been broken. It doesn't matter how long you've been in despair. It matters how strong your faith is in God. He is a breakthrough for those who are broken. Don't give up on him this morning. He knows your heart. He feels your pain. That's why he went up on the cross. He knows what you're going through. He knows what you're feeling this morning, my brothers and sisters. We're reminded in John's gospel too. He said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Jesus comes with a message this morning, my brothers and sisters. What does he come with? He comes with a message of hope. He comes with a message of healing. He comes with a message of help. He comes with a message of aid. The Bible said, The Lord's Spirit is upon me. I've been anointed to preach the gospel to the poor. What else does Jesus bring? He brings a message of saving grace, salvation for those who believe in him. It's free. All you have to do is confess your sins. Believe that God raised him up and that you shall be saved. He comes with a message that the Father, our Father, is still on the throne. He has not abdicated his power nor his authority, Deacon Jones. He is still able to keep those at peace whose mind is stayed on him. He will never leave you, nor will he forsake you, as you become obedient to his Spirit. As we look at the world stages of life, we serve a God who is able. As we look at the world stages of life, God knows that we are not going to understand all the things that are happening to us. He knows. But he knows how much you can bear. He knows. That's why his words say, be in the world and not of the world. And at times, my brothers and sisters, at times it does seem like the adversary is winning. It seems like he is going to conquer your soul. But I want you to be reminded this morning, the race is not always to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, but to them who are able to hold out and hold on to God's unchanging hand. I know I got a witness in here this morning. When we belong to Christ, we are more than conquerors. You have been set free by the power of the Holy Spirit. The word said, if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Not only is he a breakthrough for those who have been broken, but he's a liberator for those who have been broken. His presence is with you. His power is with you. Those that have been influenced by the presence and power of sin, he came to liberate you from eternal separation. Your sins, believe it or not, makes you a prime candidate for Christ to demonstrate his redemptive powers in your life. That's what it does. You know you sin, and I know you sin, and I've sinned. But it gives him an opportunity to demonstrate his redemptive powers in your life to restore you. That's what it does. He is a breakthrough, a bridge for those that are broken. He came to liberate you from the penalty of sin, which we know is eternal separation. God is able to do all things but fail. I'm almost ready to take my seat, saints. Can you see how he's working it out in your life? Sister Gail, can you see what he's done for you? He desires for all of us to be saved. So take up your cross daily and follow him. Deny yourself. He wants to liberate you from sin's bondage. That's the good news. But this liberation does not give you a license to become free and to sin continuously. He told Saul, he said, my grace is sufficient for you, and my power is made perfect in weakness. Go and sin no more. It started in the garden, where before the relationship was divine, flourishing, no flaws, serene peace, joy unspeakable, a holy quietness, and a harmonious perfection. God with man and man with God, coming while the dew was still on the roses. Everything he needed and ever could want, the hand of God provided. And it is through his son Jesus, reconciliation. Reconciliation. Yes, that peace and tranquility was shattered in the garden. It was broken in the garden. That transgression betrayed and hindered perfection of holiness. But he longs for the time when we, you and I, can embrace his Spirit. He longs for the time when his Spirit will come back into your life. He longs for the time when he can speak with you again in the garden. That's what it's all about, my brothers and sisters. Going back to the garden where peace and tranquility. I don't know what the garden looked like, but I can imagine there was no stress in the garden, harmony in the garden, walking and talking with him in the garden. That's what he wants again for us. in its relationship with him. That transgressed and betrayed and hindered the perfection of holiness, he wants to restore it again. Yes, it started in the garden, but God, through his son Jesus Christ, is able to free you up from sin that binds you and bounds you, keep you from reaching your goal, Brother Deacons. Thank you, Lord God, for the cross at Calvary where you hung and bled and died. But I'm so thankful to you this morning, God, that you will raise your son Jesus up on the third day, where he is now sitting on the right hand of the Father, interceding on our behalf, making intercessory prayers. He's coming back again, saints. Oh, he's coming back again. Jesus Christ is our breakthrough, our bridge. A bridge that you can cross. The bridge that you must cross if you want to get to the garden again. Jesus Christ is your breakthrough. He can fix anything that was broken. He can fix anything that is broken. He can fix anything that might become broken in your life. Remember, there is nothing too hard for God. Sin began in the garden, and it will end where it began. To God be the glory for the great things he has done.